Lord Jesus, we cannot thank you enough that your word tells the whole story of everything that we need for everything. God, above everything else, we believe this. We really, really believe this. So God, as your word goes forth, God, change my life. Change our lives, God. As your word goes forth, may you reveal to us the things that only you know. We stand on the promise of your word in Deuteronomy, I think it's 28:28, where it says, the secret things of our God belong to him and his people. God, your word says that if we call to you, you will hear us, and you will show us great and mighty things that we do not know. May the words of Jeremiah ring out in our hearts today. And I pray even now, as I'm praying, I pray that there are somebody here right now that is praying and their heart is connecting with you and just saying to you, please, God, help us. We have no place left to go. I pray for that person today that they would receive completely. In Christ's name, amen. The first three words of the Bible study today are probably the least important, but the most active. And here's what I mean. The first three words are, and it happened. But I think that you could put the emphasis on whichever word that you want there, and it would still bring a meaning that is so important. The first couple of verses we're going to read today is the story of what we do here. Because so many people, they think that we come to church here and it's about, you know, making the church bigger. It's about having more people in the church. It's about growth. It's about finances. It's about the idea that the people outside these four walls have about what we do here is extremely confused. And unfortunately, sometimes the people outside these four walls, even when they're here inside these four walls, still don't know that they're really outside these four walls. You'll understand what I mean in a second, in case you don't know what I mean. I don't know why that was there. It says, and it happened. Or, and it happened. Or, and it happened. Or, and it happened. Now, why am I playing this little word game? Because no matter how you slice those active words, what happened here is what should happen here in us and in this church. When he was in a certain city, you could circle that word for certain and you could write next to it any old place. Because that word for certain has no specific meaning. It has like five meanings. I looked up the word. I couldn't even pronounce it in the Greek. And it was like, wherever. Meaning, it could happen anywhere. And it happened in Pompano. And it happened in Deerfield. And it happened. You understand the idea here? The reason that word certain is so ambiguous is this. That behold, a man who is full of leprosy saw Jesus. A man who is full of leprosy. You could circle that word for man and you could write next to it, man or woman, humankind, female, male, transgender, gay, fluid, not, this, that, the other thing. Any certain human being. They saw Jesus. They saw. And they were full of leprosy. The word leprosy is, anybody not know what leprosy is? Leprosy is a disease that people get where their skin literally falls off. And now back in biblical times, if you had leprosy, you'd wrap the skin around. It would get all white and start to die and it'd fall off. And literally people who have advanced stages of leprosy, their fingers, their toes, eventually start to fall off and they die from blood infection, blood poisoning, gangrene. Their skin would get all gangrenous, they would die. But in Scripture, leprosy is a picture of sin. This is how sin starts. This is what it does to you. It starts as just, I had this little mosquito bite, and I scratched it. I hope it was a mosquito bite. And that's what sin is. Sin's this little thing. It's no big deal. So I smoke a joint once in a while. Give me a break. I had a beer. Okay, forgive me. Sorry. I just watch certain things on the web I watch, but don't judge me, okay? I'm not here to be judged. Why are you here? Because I'm a certain man in a certain city, and I have leprosy. And when you come here, you saw Jesus. So what is happening now? This certain man, this certain woman in this certain city, any old place, that had this certain disease, saw Jesus. What was the response? What is normally the response when you tell somebody they have sin? Now, here's the thing. Now, let me take just a left turn. Give me 5 minutes of your time. Let me explain this to you. My job as a pastor, my name is Ryan. It's not Pastor Ryan. My name's Ryan. My job is a pastor here. My job is to discern and to help people inside the church understand what life is according to Scripture. You understand that? I'm supposed to judge what goes on in here. I'm supposed to protect our sisters. I'm supposed to encourage the people of the church to go out and serve God. That's my job. That's what I do. You know what my job isn't? To judge people outside there. Outside there, people will judge. And as crazy as it sounds, I don't judge what goes on out there. I don't care if two men get married. I don't care if two women get married. I don't care if a guy wants to marry a goat or a sheep out there. I could care less if he wants to marry his car. I don't care whether they dress like this, dress like that, whether they say that. Outside those four walls, my job is to love people into the kingdom. Now, they're not going to get married in here, and I will fight to the death to make sure that doesn't happen. I cannot marry. I can only marry a man and woman because all I do is what this thing says. But my job ain't to judge them. The Bible specifically says God will judge those outside the church. But when they come in here, the agenda that they have when they come in here will be revealed, because the Bible says that God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword, pierces the division of bone and marrow, soul and spirit, and it is a discerner of your thoughts and intent. If you have leprosy and you came here, I'm asking you something. Number one, did you see Jesus here? Did you see Jesus and the people that are here? Because body of Christ here at Calvary Chapel, Deerfield Beach, you're the only Bible a lot of people are ever going to read. And I hope they see Jesus when they see you. And I hope they see the Lord Jesus when they see us as a church, as a body. I hope they come here with leprosy. And now what they do when they leave here, that's their business. But if they do like this man did, I'm going to show you what can happen. Watch this. And he, the latter part of verse 12, fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, that word for leprosy doesn't give a stage. And I love that it doesn't give a stage. No matter what place you are, whether you're a young person in here, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, up to 20, whatever, and you have just, man, you're done with this world. Or you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Man, I got to tell you this crazy story. Going 20 years back, I used to do business with this place in New Jersey called Lombardo's Metro Pet. The guy used to buy animals off me. I used to buy them from him. Now, I hadn't heard that name in 20 years. A buddy of mine was in town. And I said, and he brought the guy's name up. And I said, "Oh, whatever happened to him?" He goes, "You won't believe it." I said, "What are you talking about?" Because he died of heroin overdose. I said, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, about 3 years ago." I said, "3 years ago? How old was he?" 75. He died of heroin overdose at 75? I don't know how that happened. But it don't matter how old you are. Sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you there longer than you want to stay, right? Now, this guy, he has leprosy, and somehow he meets the Lord, and he didn't care whether he was judged, not judged. He just fell down on his face and said, "Heal me." Now, was the guy like at the advanced stage of leprosy where it already enveloped his entire life? Was it just that, I'm going to die, I don't want to die? You know, is that first doctor visit? Is it that first big fight you have with your wife? Is it the first time somebody said, "Yeah, well, then fine, I'll get a divorce"? Or is it the first time something crazy happened to you? Do you see him then and say, "I'm done with my life. God, if you got a plan, I'll take it, because I can't do this no more"? Or is it such an advanced stage that you have pieces of your life literally falling off? And then the enemy lies to you. Here's what the enemy says to you when that happens. When it's that advanced stage, he goes, "God don't want nothing to do with you. You're filthy and you're dirty. God wanted you 20 years ago when you had some strength. God wanted you 20 years ago when there was something left of your life. What do you think God wants from you? You've turned your back on God so many times." I mean, here's the funny thing, and I'm kind of setting you up here so you know. We don't know why this guy had leprosy. Was it hereditary? Did he meet somebody in the market? Did he bump again? We don't know if it was his fault or not his fault, whether he had leprosy. Now, is that important to God? That's the question. Let's continue from there. I'll answer it in a minute. Let me get my glasses so I can see where I'm going. Oh, there it is. "If you are willing, you can make me clean," the latter part of verse 12. The first part of verse 13, he says, "Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately the leprosy left him." Now, I started out by saying, what is it that we do here? And I've kind of jumped back and forth from the spiritual to the physical, from what is to what was. Let me go back to what is spiritual here. You come here with sin. You go to any church where they're lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus. Certainly we don't have a lock stock on the Lord. There's a lot of good churches. And you have sin, you come here, and God forgives sin. That's what he does. Now, if you're new to this thing that we do here, and you've never heard this before, or you don't know how this works, let me explain to you how it works, and let me explain to you how it shouldn't work. Let me, for instance, say there's a couple of people, they've never been to church before, they were invited by a friend, invited by a family member, they're here, you come here, I tell you sin, you say, "Who are you to judge?" I say, "I'm not judging, I'm reading the Bible." If you feel convicted, you can give that leprosy to God. God will wash it away. But here's what's not going to happen. What's not going to happen is you're not going to walk out of that door and be forgiven, let me reiterate, and be set free from everything. The struggle continues. But here's what God just did. And this is the supernatural cool part. He takes you as a being, and he covers you in Teflon. So that way, from now on, as a Christian, that's all you got to do to get rid of that sin. I messed up again. Just get it off. Before you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that sin sticks to you so bad, and it weighs you down. At some point in time, you're in your 30s, you have a bus full of people following you that you're mad at, you have a life full of sin, and everybody, and you can't see, and you're just miserable, and all of a sudden you accept Christ as your Savior. You say, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And he says, "I'm willing, be clean." And you're clean, and that weight is off your shoulders, and you're like, "Yes!" But then you run the risk of being like what you think other Christians are supposed to be, the big churches, the mega churches. You run the risk now of having to put on a show for people because so many people are watching you. And that's where I get off that path. Because when I came to the Lord, I was what the Bible calls a brand plucked from the fire. And I thought once I got saved, life was just going to be peachy keen from then. But I found out it wasn't even close to it. I found out I still struggled with a lot of things that I thought if I was a Christian, I wouldn't struggle. It shook my faith for a long time because I thought, well, here I'm a Christian and I still have so much lust in my heart. Well, here I'm a Christian, I'm so greedy. Here I'm a Christian, I still have this, I still have that. And I saw all these people I was going to church with, well, he's perfect and he don't do nothing and she's great. I guess I don't fit in here. I guess I'm not a real Christian. You understand what happens? This is a work in progress. And yes, you are covered with Teflon. So when you leave this verse, you can at some point in time in your life go to another verse. Don't turn there. Just keep it in your mind. 1 John 1:9 said that God is faithful to forgive you of your sin if you ask him. So as a Christian, you look at something, you touch something, you say something, you hear something that sticks to you, and you're like, ooh, what was that, man? You just got to go like this. Off. Off. Because you have been coated with that Teflon. But if you don't spend time in prayer asking God to forgive your sin after you've been saved, well, you can't go to hell because of that, because you've been saved, but you can be burdened with sin, weighed back down in that mire. And that's why it is so important to spend time in prayer, to spend time in the Word, to go to church and to worship God. Oh, that's where the freedom is, guys. That's where the freedom is. However, continuing, that was just a review. Thank you. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. You know what he tells the guy to do? He tells the guy to do something crazy. He says, listen, now that you've been saved, I got something for you to do. Live your life. Well, what do you mean, live my life? Live your life. I want you to go do exactly what the Bible says. It's all right here, guys. So if you find yourself in some kind of frustrated place, in some kind of church life that has been, like, it's frustrated you, it's confused you, he tells the guy after he heals him of leprosy, I want you to go to the priest. I want you to go start going to church, and I want you to do what the Bible says. Read the books of Moses, follow what it says, do that. Well, I thought I could just get saved and go back out there and have a great time. Sorry. I will only lead you to worse things. You understand what I'm saying, guys? I know this is like, for some of you guys, like, I know this. Get to the meat. No, this is the meat, guys. Sometimes the understanding of this story here is the best. Watch what happens now. Verse 15, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came to hear and to be healed by them of their infirmities. Please give me your attention. This is great. This is where little church turns into big church. This is where good turns into dangerous or even bad. He says, listen, don't go start telling people what I did. I want you to just go and live the life. But he says people heard that they got healed, and multitudes started to follow him. Lots and lots of people started chasing the Lord Jesus around. And do you know what God did? He called the newspaper. He called the television stations. He set up lots and lots of chairs. He had the apostles buy a big outdoor arena, and he started preaching to great, vast multitudes. He hired the best band money could buy. Because that's what you do when a lot of people start showing up. Don't go to the church up the block. There ain't no need. You come right here. And I want you guys this week to invite all your friends, because that's what the Lord said to do. You go tell your friends and family and tell them, don't worry, it doesn't matter if they don't have to change. Forget about that change thing. Just come. Let's get them in here.
Verse 16, so he often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. See what he did?
He ran away from the crowds. He left. He said, multitudes follow. Hey, where's that guy? I heard he's feeding people. Where's that guy? I heard he's healing people. He was like, not me, buddy. Wrong reason. You see, it didn't say multitudes followed him to be cleaned, to be healed, to be saved from leprosy, anything, no matter what it is. Anybody ever seen a Benny Hinn show? Anybody remember Benny Hinn? Is he still on? Benny Hill. I mean Benny Hinn. Is he still on? Is he still around? I saw one time he preached to like a million people in Africa, and he was making Holy Spirit balls. He was going like this and throwing them at the crowd, and people were just falling. I was thinking to myself, no wonder the Lord ran into the wilderness and prayed. He was praying for Benny Hinn. Oh, my goodness. Is that the saddest thing in the world when you see that? Does that break your heart? When you stop laughing, you start crying, and you go, these poor people, they went there for something. And then you think about, the Lord said, don't go into the wilderness. Don't say he's in the desert. He's not. He split on them. He told them, no, I'm not interested in this big show that you guys want. This ain't the Benny Hinn show where we heal people. People got to ask for a life changer. Are you with me? Verse 16, he often withdrew. Verse 17, now it happened. You see, we had then it happened. Now it happened. Now it happened. Now it happened on a certain day. Wait a second, that's almost the exact same line. Verse 12 and verse 17, I hadn't noticed that. I'm lying, I noticed it, that's why I set you guys up. The whole thing was a setup. Now it happened on a certain day. You could circle that word for certain there, and it means any old place and time. Any place. And this is important. I'm going to come back to that. Please stay with me. Focus in, even though I'm talking a lot. As he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. Not any certain town. Not any old town. They came from Washington, D.C. They came from San Francisco. And they came from Manhattan, New York. And they were very special, you understand, because they were Pharisees. And they looked the part. And they were teachers of the law. They acted the part. And they had their own TV shows. And they had their own congregations, large congregations with special chairs. And the best band money could buy, mind you. I want you to see this. This is so important. I'm not just making fun. I'm really, really setting something up here. These people came to see the Lord Jesus. And it was any old day. And it was any old town. But they were from not just any old town. They were from very important areas. And the next verse is the most important verse of the entire Bible study. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And in parentheses in my brain, I put in there the footnote that says, but it didn't. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who were from very important areas, went to see this nobody guy in this nobody place, in this nobody town, and the power of the Lord was there to heal them. And they didn't recognize it. And they didn't see it. And they didn't taste it. And they didn't care. Because you know why? They had leprosy and they didn't even know it. Look what he says to them. He doesn't even say it to them. Watch what he says later. But then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And they could not find how they might bring him in because the crowd. So he goes into a house, right? This is great. I love this. I love this guy. He's the freaking best. He didn't rent a coliseum. He went to a house where nobody could fit. So they went in the house. Maybe it was Peter's house. What are you doing in my house? Well, we got to go here. You know how many people are outside? They'll be there tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Listen, somebody's got to teach you something about promotion here. Promotion, you got to strike while the iron's hot. All these people coming to see you. Come on. We can sell tickets. We can get, look at all these people. Now I'm in the house. But there were some people who would not be deterred. What the problem with the American church is, air conditioning, buildings, and as I've said before, through no, and pointing at nobody, bookstores, cafes, restaurants, theaters. I'm talking about churches. How crazy is that? I'm not talking about the promenade. You got it. You want to go to our church? We got a school. We got a bookstore. We got a cafe. We got two restaurants. We got a shuttle. You don't even have to walk. Don't worry about it. Just stand in your car and wait. We'll pick you up. We'll bring you in. He went in a house where nobody could fit. And when a guy couldn't get in, he didn't go, "Oh, hey, I'm never coming back to this church again. This guy talks too much, yells too much. I don't like that guy. He looked at me, didn't say hello." They didn't care. Our buddy is sick. I got to get him in to see that guy. I heard the power of God is there to heal. They couldn't figure out how to get him in. The Lord didn't walk outside and go, "Wait a second, let's make sure. Anybody else need?" He didn't do that. How do you not love this guy? He didn't care. What man can't be seduced by power, money, or prestige? What man? Not this man. Only that man. They went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. They climbed up on the house. Now, the guy is on a bed. He's on like a mattress, maybe like a burlap sack. So they climb up on. How did they do this? Did you ever think about this? They climb up on one. Here, you get the bottom. I get the top. Oh, don't drop him. Don't kill him before he gets healed. And are they listening? Is he in this room? No. Is he in this? Or was there a guy on the outside going, "No, over here. Over here." And if it was Peter's house, Peter's like, later on, he's like, "What did they do to my roof?" You know, you don't know. And there they are digging. The Lord's got to be like, "Excuse me, I'm preaching here. You're messing up my message. Excuse me, deacons and elders, would you please remove the noisy kid? You're messing up the tape sales here." The cameraman, my wife's telling me to calm down, sorry. Do I calm down? I need to calm down? So right, this is great. You're going to love this story. This is great. This is kind of like the final straw. You guys might not know, my pastor's named Ken Graves. He's the guy that I call, I talk to. He's the guy I call when she's crazy. I don't know what to do. He's that guy. He came down to preach one time at my old church, right? And he's preaching, and if you know Ken, he's got this very deep voice, and he talks, and he goes back and forth, and he's talking. And all of a sudden, the phone rings. And he stops, and he goes, "That's horrible." And the guy just keeps ringing. He goes, "Whoever it is, please turn your phone off." Kind of shakes his head, and he goes back to preaching. 5 minutes later, again, he goes, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Would you please turn the phone off?" Happens like 3 more times. Finally, I'm in the audience. I'm like, "This is ridiculous." So I finally find out, and you know who it is? It's the cameraman. And his phone keeps going off, but he ain't gonna mess up the shot. The fact that, and now, at one point, I don't know if anybody else that's here was there, at one point, he starts praying, it's over, and the phone rings again while he's praying, and he goes, "Lord, convict the guy with the phone, please." And I thought about this whole thing. What goes on in the heart of a man who's taking a video of a man, but he's so interested in not messing up the shot that he can't reach down, turn his phone off? How does this happen? I thought to myself, I said, this is gone. I'm done. I can't do this no more. I can't do this big church thing no more. I can't do the worrying about this is stupid. It's stupid to me. Somewhere, at some point in time, it goes from being, okay, yeah, there's a lot of people being ministered to God going, are you kidding me? When God says to you, are you kidding me? I think it's time to go. He's just in a house, man. He just went in a house. And these people that just needed, because the power of God was there. And there was something about it. Here's what it was. And it wasn't the music, the building. It wasn't the food or the bookstore. There was something there that, you ready? It was a road to Emmaus where your heart burned. When the guy spoke about the word of God, he wasn't a nice guy. He wasn't, most people don't like me outside these four walls. Believe me, I'm a tad uptight. Tad. But when the word of God went forward, your heart burned. When my pastor first started preaching, when I first heard that, my heart used to burn. And I would sit there like this, eyes watering all the time. My wife, are you crying? No! And then I went from this to this. Wow. Wow. This is a city. Wow. And then we'd read about the Lord. And you know what we'd have to do? We'd have to pour lots of water on it. Water it down, because to apply it to our lives was too thick anymore. We couldn't do it anymore. Because here's what we have. And here's the Lord preaching, no air conditioning, in a building, didn't get more chairs because more people. He just poured the word forward. And the word, the power of God was there to heal. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they didn't get it. They just don't. Some people just don't get it.
Verse 19 again, and they could not find how they might bring him in because the crowd. They went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before. And when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now watch this.
Remember I said to you before, we don't know what it is that caused that guy to have leprosy. Here, we know exactly what caused this guy. He had what the King James Bible calls the palsy. You know what they say? Now this is church tradition slash, I guess, sanctified imagination, you can call it. He had syphilis. He had an advanced form of syphilis where your body starts to shut down and you start to die. You can't even walk anymore. Anybody not know what syphilis is? It's a sexually transmitted disease. This guy got himself into a mess on his own. We don't know about that other guy. We don't know whether he got, you know, what do you call it? Help me. Leprosy the old-fashioned way, or, you know, but this guy earned his. This guy earned it. And the Lord didn't say to him, nah, listen a second. He didn't put his glass in his mouth and go, let me tell you what to do here. Let me think. No. He didn't ask him what he did. He said, he looked at them. He said, are you kidding me? Dude, your sins are forgiven. With this kind of faith, what was it? Did the guy say, forgive me when he hit the ground? Did he say, I'm sorry about your roof? No. He saw their faith. The lengths that it took for the guy to get face close to the Lord, he saw it and he said, man, your sins are forgiven, dude. No question about it. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders who are from Judea, Jerusalem, they said, excuse me, who is this that speaks blasphemies? Blasphemer. He's a blasphemer. Who can forgive sin but God? God's the only one who forgives sin. They didn't say, this poor slob, Look at, they weren't amazed at the faith. They didn't care that the guy got healed of leprosy. Look, they didn't care about the guy's roof. And you know what I love? They had the best seat in the house, too. They were there. Of course they let us in the house. Let all those poor nobodies stand outside. And there was, who can forgive sins but God? And the Lord perceives them. He sees them mockingly talking. He sees them looking down their nose in their own perfection. And he says to them, when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? And then he bombs them, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Now, I love the non-answer he gives them. He says to them, what's easier? Like, is that the question? Is it easier or not easier? Did he really say, your sins are forgiven, because it was much easier to say, rise, get up, and walk? Like, the difference between 6 words and 9 words? You think about that for a second. Why did he say, what's easier? He said what's easier to just to slice them one more time. You didn't say nothing to them. I said, your sins are forgiven. But what's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or rise, get up and walk? Get up and walk. Boy, you are free. Your marriage is healed. Your body is made well. You're going to heaven. Boom. Because I said so. I love this. This is power. This is a man who looked at the big shots of the day and he said, not impressed. Let me tell you something. On your way out, we have a stack of bumper stickers out there. I want you to put one on your car. It's the ones that say Calvary Chapel, Deerfield Beach, located at 100 South Power Line Road. See you on Sunday or you suck. Do me a favor. And I know this is going to be crazy. Don't get a duck, a fish, a bird. Don't do nothing on your car. You know what you do? Just live your life like a Christian. Just read the word, show up to church. Don't tell anybody. Just for a couple of weeks, tell nobody you're a Christian and let them look at you and go, what's different about you? Something different. You don't cuss, you don't fuss, you don't drink with the fellas, you don't go out with the girls. What is it with you? Tell nobody. Just do something insane. Don't wear a Christian t-shirt no more. Just live. Is that insane? Not that any of those things are bad, guys. Everybody's going to be outside. The outside guys would get this fish off my car. I can see it happening. I get a bill at the church. Man, I scratched my car trying to get the fish off. Super glue. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God. And they were filled with fear, saying, we've seen some strange things today. How is the Bible not like the most amazing thing you've ever seen? And you know what they said? Honestly. They didn't say, doctrinally, this reminds me of... They didn't... The Bible says, you know what they said? They glorified God and said, man, we need some whack stuff today. Whew! House, tile ripped open, guy healed the leprosy, this guy jumps up, he's dying, we seen some strange things today. And the power of God was there to heal. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they walked out. And you know what they said? The people said, we've seen some strange things today. You know what the religious people said that day? This guy's got to die. Oh, yeah. We're going to lose everything. This guy's got to die. What? I'm not lying. Look at Mark chapter 3. Right after this in Mark chapter 3, he dies. He heals a guy with his hand. Boom. Immediately in Mark chapter 3, it says, right then they conspired how to kill him. We're going to lose everything we got. Close your Bible. We've seen some strange things today, Jack. This don't make any sense at all. This guy don't know what he's doing. He don't know how he's doing it. No, it makes no sense whatsoever. None of this makes any sense. This guy did nothing that we think he should have done. He did not capitalize on his power. He did not capitalize on his popularity. He did not capitalize on his persona. He could have been big, man. This Jesus could have been big. If he would have had the right promotion, if he would have had the right designer, man, we could have built him. He could have been big. If he, instead of going into the wilderness and spending time in prayer, he could have got these people, appointed leaders, man, set up. You know what you need to do? I'm going to tell you what you need to do while it's working, while you got the mojo going. Let's set up another one of these, just like this. We'll call it Big Little Church. And you could put up screens and you could show pictures of me and Jim. Me and Jim will be up here. We'll be cutting it up up here. Hey, Jim, why don't you play this? Okay, I'll play this. Ha, 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 ha. We'll shuffle on our feet and we'll point our fingers and we'll show, hey, let's see. Hey, guys, let me pray for you before we watch Almighty Ryan preach. Really? A movie? You go to see a movie? Am I offending anybody here? I hope so, because I'm disgusted. When my church started doing that, because me and my wife and my kids, we'd go to this convalescent home, and we'd bring them food, we'd preach a message, we'd love on them, and then we'd get to church for the 12:30 service. This guy was amazing. At one point, he was preaching 4 messages in a weekend. I was blown away. I was like, I don't know how he does it. We get there at 12:30, all of a sudden, movie. Like, oh, well, maybe he's tired. Johnny, want to watch your girls a second? I don't know how I got to that point. And then it was okay. So let's open up a church like that. And how did we get this far? How did we go from reading the story about the guy in the house where people had to get to him by cutting the tiles? How do we get there and think it's okay? Because a lot of people show up? Because when he says come forward, a lot of people come forward? How do we get there? Somebody help me here. And then we're surprised when one by one all the pastors, boop, 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 and now it's norm. And the next pastor is going to be on Bill O'Reilly next week. And as soon as he does that, you could be sure he's going to get taken out any day now too. Withdraw out into the wilderness and spend some time in prayer. Perfect for me. That's me from now on. You know what? I'm already a big star. I got a 7-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old daughter, and they think I am the greatest movie star ever. And when we go to bed at night and I tell them a story about our lizard and I make up these stories about our lizard and our dog. I say, one's name is Usi, and he goes to Rex and he says, where are you going? Let's go to the store. So they jump in the back of the car and we drove to Publix and they go, oh, Daddy, did that really happen? Yes, when you're not looking, Rexy talks. And I implore you here, let that be enough for you too. Don't be big, stay small. I'm okay now. If you have leprosy, and you want to be healed of that leprosy, reach out and ask God if he is willing. And today you will hear in your own voice, in your own heart, that he's willing. He's willing to heal you of your leprosy. He's willing to save your marriage. He's willing to heal your body. He's willing to fix your finances, because everything that he's done in your life, he's done just to get you to this point in time. So you say, God, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And you will hear, no doubt about it, I am willing to be cleansed. And know this, and I've seen it, and I could testify to the people that are in here, the power of God is here, willing to save and to heal. That's between you and the Lord. Let's pray.
Father God, we thank you so much for your word. God, I don't know how weird this is, but Father, I thank you so much for you. I thank you so much for your son, our Lord Jesus, who could not be perverted, could not be twisted, he could not be seduced, he could not be pulled away from the task at hand. God, thank you so much. What a perfect picture. We love you, Lord Jesus. Have your way in and through us. Teach us how to live. We receive the power that is present to heal. With your eyes closed, if you want the power of God to heal you, just lift your hand up. Everybody keep their eyes closed. This would be a time, somehow in a room full of people, this would be a time for you and God. If you want God to heal your marriage, just grab your wife's hand and hold it up to God. God, you see our hearts. More important than seeing our hands, you see our hearts, God. And I ask you to heal those whose hands are raised, whose hearts are raised. We know that your power is present to heal us, and we ask you to do something with our lives that we cannot do ourselves. Bless us with the healing. Let your power fall upon us. Anoint us. And we pray because we believe the blood of Christ is sufficient. Amen.
Amen. Amen.